You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. We've got with us, oh, doesn't need an introduction, really, Dr. Don Brash. Most famous, I guess, to the public originally for being the Reserve Bank governor that got inflation under control when no one said it was possible. Don Brash was given the job and he went and did it, brought inflation under control, brought Reserve Bank spending under control, and must break his heart, what's happening now. He went on to a career in politics. He joined the National Party, was a National Party MP. He was leader of the National Party, sadly didn't quite make it, was a leader of the ACT Party, sadly didn't quite make it. And I can't help but reflect how it would be in a completely different world if Don Brash had won. But here we are. Don Brash hasn't given up, he's tenacious. And he's formed with a group of New Zealanders, Hobson's Pledge, dedicated to fulfilling the promise of the Treaty of Waitangi. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Rodney.
It's lovely to have you on. Thank you for joining us and thank you for your work. Most importantly, your work with Hobson's Pledge.
Thank you for your very generous introduction. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think your best work is yet to come.
Well, Hobson's Pledge certainly is dear to my heart. We formed it originally called Hobson's Choice, which was a play on words, partly because it was Hobson's choice as Governor Hobson to say, we are now one people. But of course, also in the vernacular, it means there is no choice. And at that time, 2016, that point, the party which was most explicitly in favor of one law for all was actually not ACT at that point, but New Zealand First. And Winston Peters was quite strong on this issue. So in a sense, as I say, it was a play on words. We discovered that Hobson's Choice was the brand name of a bacon company, so we had to drop it, and we changed it to Hobson's Pledge.
Well, sometimes I call you Hobson's Choice, so I'll be able to just say I'm referring to your ordinary, your original phrase. Let's cover a couple of things. I want to cover off equality. I want to cover off the real estate, and I want to cover off Waitangi Day and the Treaty Principles Bill, and we've got 30 minutes. Equality. You wrote a great piece. There's a piece in the Herald about how equality is really a dirty word.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And of course, people interpret it in different ways. They interpret it to mean equity, which is a value judgment of what is fair, whereas equality, in my view, is about political equality. Are we giving each adult person the same political rights as each other adult person? And I think that's the fundamental principle of any democracy.
And of course, here in New Zealand, we are not.
No, we're not. Interestingly, the London Economist categorizes countries by the degree of democracy they have, and they have four broad categories, sort of what they call pure democracies, flawed democracies, the third category, I can't think what they call it, and the fourth one, of course, are the countries which have no democracy at all. New Zealand is in the category of pure democracy or close to pure democracy. The US, for example, it's in a flawed democracy because it's clearly not weighted on the basis now put it another way, the Senate is not a democratic body. The two senators per state, irrespective of the size of the state. The House of Representatives is much more nearly democratic, but the Senate is clearly not. And it wasn't intended to be, of course, when the founding fathers created the US Constitution. But
As our Republicans fond of saying, it's a republic, not a democracy.
well, that's right. That's right. So it certainly isn't democratic in the sense that we understand the word. But New Zealand is more nearly a democracy, I think, than most other countries, with one major and obvious exception, of course, is that we have different electorates for people who opt onto the Maori roll. Now, it's democratic in the sense that people can opt either onto the Maori roll or off the Maori roll if they have a Maori ancestor. And roughly half the people who categorize themselves as Maori are on the Maori roll, roughly half are on the general roll, and they're free to move one to the other. The size of those electorates, in terms of number of voters, is broadly similar. So we were a reasonably democratic society in that sense, but with that important exception.
But of course, it's deeper than that, because if you try and gain access to medical school, if you try and gain a scholarship, if you go for a resource consent, your race matters.
That's right. And that is a serious issue facing New Zealand. And it's more serious now than perhaps at any time of our history, because it's so widely spread, that view. Resource Management Act is a particularly egregious one. It's very difficult to do anything very much anywhere if you're a developer or a home builder or whatever, without getting special approval from the local tribe, local iwi. And that is, in my view, totally inappropriate.
Well, it's a recipe for corruption.
It is a recipe for corruption, and it leads to corruption on a grand scale.
So the issue here is what I loved about your piece. We had this lady, I can't pronounce her name. What was her name that had a whack on this equality? Lady Turiti Moxon.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
And she said that equality is like flawed. And her argument was it's flawed because it doesn't guarantee equality of outcome.
Yep.
And her particular concern was she could cite Maori health statistics or crime statistics or education statistics and say, well, as long as there is any deviance from equality of outcome, we can't have equality. Would that be her
Because
argument?
that is her argument, as I understand it, and of course it is total garbage. I mean, on the health statistics, for example, it's pointed out that Maori life expectancy is shorter than that of European New Zealanders' life expectancy by, I think, some 7 years difference. On the other hand, if you look at Asian life expectancy in New Zealand, you find it's several years longer than of European. There's no suggestion that the health system is biased in favor of Asian New Zealanders, and there are factors which affect life expectancy which have nothing to do with the health system. If you smoke a
And
lot or
of course,
overeat or whatever, yeah.
once you go against equality, then you've given up on merit, you've given up on need, and you've given up on performance.
Yep.
So it's far deeper a rot in the system than just, oh, we're going to get a few extra Maori doctors, or there's going to be a bit extra money for Maori. It's actually creating a rot in the body politic, which
Yep.
I'm picking up in my children.
In what sense, Rodney?
One young man is keen on the Air Force. He's 14. He can't get any scholarship unless he was Maori.
Yeah. Appalling. Absolutely
My
appalling.
kids have learnt to recite nonsense on Maori, affecting all aspects of their learning, knowing that it's not true.
Your kids know it's not true? That's encouraging, at least.
Oh, it's quite surprising because I carry these kids in carpools and I sit there driving the car with my big ears flapping.
Yeah.
And I would say, sadly, they're going completely the other way. You know, they've got so angry over it, and they have such a sense of outrage that they have become so hyper-focused on race that they're in danger of being racist.
Yeah, I think there is a risk of that. I find it among some of the people who support Hobson's Pledge. They're verging on racist because they're so angry with what's being done. And I understand and relate to that, but it's very important we don't succumb to that because, of course, many of the people who push most strongly against this garbage are themselves of Maori extraction. We think
Yes.
of David Seymour, obviously. We think of Winston Peters, Casey Costello. You can go on. These people are Maori and proud of that fact, have Maori ancestry anyway. And I use the point because they're also like almost all Maori in New Zealand are of mixed ancestry, but they don't want this garbage of preferential treatment because of their of part of their ancestry.
So here we are. This is what's depressing, Don. We have three political parties in government. Each one of them is committed to equality, irrespective of race.
Yeah, and I think to be fair, there are some changes taking place in the right direction.
That's an amazingly long pause
it's
and a big struggle to say to be fair. You're very fair, Don, I'll give you that.
yeah. Well, I mean, you and I both know how incredibly constipated the political process can be, and they've scrapped the Maori Health Authority. They've scrapped the co-governance in Three Waters, both
Yes,
of those
true.
are major moves. I'd understood that they'd scrapped the preference for Maori and Pacific Islanders in the med schools, but maybe that's not true.
I don't know.
I thought that was the case. So they have made some changes and some improvements. The Resource Management Act, I don't yet know how much they'll eliminate Maori preference from that legislation. I haven't seen the bill yet. But they talk a reasonable talk. Simon Court, at least, seems to talk the reasonable talk on that issue. So time will tell.
Are you optimistic about the present government or wait and see?
Let's put it this way. I prefer this government to the other lot.
Well, that's where it gets tricky because we have the Maori Party,
Yep.
which is full on apartheid,
That's right.
and they, on present polling, would be a member of the next government.
That's true. That's
And
true.
of course, here we are, limping along, not doing great, with the prospect coming up of something far worse, not better.
I think personally this issue will be to Labour's serious disadvantage in the next election because they'll be seen as saddled with both the Greens and the Maori Party. It'll be to ACT's considerable advantage, I think, at National's expense because people are fed up. And I speak to a lot of National Party people, including National Party office holders, who are almost certain to vote ACT with their party vote at the next election because they
Wow.
agree on this issue.
And of course, the lightning rod for that has been the Treaty Principles Bill.
That's right.
Are you supportive of the bill?
Of course. I'm a little uneasy about the wording of the second principle,
Yes.
as in the, but the first one, the government has the right to govern. I mean, who on earth can object to that?
Oh, the Maori Party.
Well, that's right. But no one else can object to that
No.
realistically. Even Hipkins, who denies that sovereignty was ceded in 1840, nevertheless says, well, I don't believe sovereignty was ceded at that point. Sovereignty has been ceded. So,
Yes.
right across 80, 90% of the political spectrum, it's accepted that the government's got the right to govern. So, that is broadly accepted. Article 3. Principle 3, we all have equal rights. Again, the great majority of New Zealanders would affirm that. Article 2 is the one which is debatable in some aspects, but even that is Maori have the rights they had in 1840. Nothing's been deprived of, they haven't been deprived of anything they had then. Well, that's a good, how can you object? So, yeah.
And yet, so far, we only have one party in our parliament supporting it.
It's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. And is this disgrace for the National Party, quite frankly. But I can't understand New Zealand First either. I mean, the one issue which Winston has been consistent on for many years, and he hasn't been consistent on it very much, but the one issue he has been consistent on is race. And you may
Of course, his argument is there are three articles in the treaty, no principles. But the problem we have with that is for 50 years or so, Parliament has been telling the courts that you have to have regard to the principles of the treaty
That's right.
without ever bothering to tell New Zealanders, let alone
What
the
they are.
courts, what those principles are. So Mr. Seymour comes along and says, well, let's set out what we think these principles are and start the debate. Well, it's a bit, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Tricky to say, look, there are no principles because it's riddled all the way through our legislation. It's what's causing a big problem with right through New Zealand. Now, Mr. Luxon's position is even worse because his position appears to be, I agree that everyone should be equal before the law, but I'm not prepared to stand up for it because some people have got hurty feelings over it.
No, it's an appalling situation the National Party is in.
This
What happened?
could collapse the National Party.
It could. There'll be a lot of people. Well, we know from polling the great majority of National Party voters who have an opinion, and most of them do, support the TPP, the Treaty Principles Bill,
Wow.
quite
Wow.
clearly. It's a
So
big
the leadership is out of touch.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big majority of New Zealand First voters, of course, a huge majority of the ACT voters, but also a substantial majority of National Party voters support the Treaty Principles Bill.
And what about Labour?
Even some Labour Party members also support it. Because if you ask most people in New Zealand,
Labour Party members or voters?
voters, I suppose, for polling.
Voters, yeah.
That's right.
Wow. So this, well, to me, what do you make of that, Don? Tell me what I was going to add my comment. What's your.
To me, it's a huge opportunity for ACT. They ought to be able to capitalize on that. It should be the death knell of Labour because they were clearly opposed to it, and they're saddled with the Maori Party. Almost certainly, they will need the Maori Party to form a government. And that's a horrible prospect for most New Zealanders.
But doesn't it tell you too that our MPs and our political parties are totally out of touch with their voters?
Yes, it does suggest that, but as you and I both know, when the leadership takes a position, it's very hard for other members of the caucus to disagree unless they topple the leadership.
Have you met Mr. Luxon?
Yes, I have. I haven't had a substantial conversation with him.
He's been cordial.
But yeah, absolutely cordial. And Margaret, my partner, makes much of the fact that she gave him a Duke of Edinburgh Award when he was 17.
She should ask for it back.
Yeah, she's always acknowledged by him when she's at a meeting where he's speaking.
It's not easy to get a Duke of Edinburgh Award. So well done. It's the one thing I'm impressed by.
Incidentally, going back, one of the things the government has done in this policy area, they have re-established the right for ratepayers to demand a referendum
Yeah.
before Māori wards are established in local government.
Yeah.
And they basically said, you don't have to get a petition for the ones which have got Māori wards now. You must have a referendum, and almost all of those Māori wards, I suspect, will be tossed out.
Well, that'll be great news. Now, this has a practical effect. Has a practical effect on the kids at school. I just had a parent ring me up, and their child is a top student and totally demoralized. by having to do marry science, marry mathematics, marry history, marry language. 15-year-old beautiful girl. Not against it, but doesn't understand marry science.
There's such thing as marriage science. Well, there's
No.
science. It's
And
telepathy.
that's what she wants to say at school.
Yeah.
That's what her dad wants to say at school. But they're getting it good and hard.
Yeah.
So you have that. You go for a resource consent. You have to go and find the local tribe,
Yep.
get them on a good day, pay them money, and they'll look at giving you a consent to your own land.
Yep.
We had the case of a real estate agent, which you took up. Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Walk us through that case, because this is the sharp end of this debate.
That's right. Well, you're talking about Janet Dixon, I think.
Yes.
And she has been a real estate agent most of her life. She sells real estate in the eastern suburbs of Auckland. And the real estate authority required her to take a course, one of which, part of which was about tikanga and Maori custom. And she said, look, I've taught at a Maori language school. I know quite a lot about Maori culture and so on. I don't want to do that. It's got nothing to do with my real estate business. I'm not going to do it. And they said, what if you don't? Because it's a compulsory course this year, you will lose your license and you cannot reapply for it for 5 years, which is absolutely outrageous stuff. Ironically, the following year, that was 2023, 2024, it was no longer compulsory. But she, nevertheless, is threatened with losing her license. Now, Hobson's Pledge took her case to the court, backed the case anyway. We funded the case, and just yesterday, in fact, the court decided that no, she had to do the course, and the real estate authority was absolutely within its rights to deprive her of her license for 5 years because she didn't do it. Now, we've got to decide in the next few days what we do about that. Do we appeal to the court, and the court judgment was not helpful at all, or do we try to find some point where the government will intervene and change the law because it's clearly absurd?
And Nicola McKee, the minister,
Nicole McKee, yeah.
came out and said, "Oh, this is bad, this is wrong." But presumably, the problem is with the legislation. It should be clear.
Yeah, the statement she made apparently doesn't solve the problem. It looked as if it might solve the problem, but I've been told by lawyers it doesn't solve the problem. The law
No,
is the
she's got it.
law,
The law's.
and yeah, that's right.
And this is where we're at, Don. Where you can be a plumber, a real estate agent, all these credentialed jobs, or you work for a business, you're employed by a business, your speech and your views and what you have to learn is just like my friend's daughter.
Yep.
You have to pay homage to what for me is offensive, pagan beliefs, anti-science,
Yep.
anti-reason,
Yep.
and done in order to debase me into a cult.
Yep.
And it's right across the board.
Very good summary. But there is pushback. I mean, Elizabeth Rata, for argument's sake, has been retained,
Wonderful lady.
wonderful lady, retained by the government to rewrite some of the curricula in a way which will significantly improve it from that point of view.
You never would have believed, Don, that in 2025, in your late 50s, you would be having to climb onto a horse and stand up for free speech and for everyone to be treated equally before the law.
Yeah, it seems so fundamental. It's been regarded as fundamental for a long time, and all of a sudden, it's no longer fundamental, being challenged right, left, and center.
I have a sense, Don, that with the revolution occurring in the United States and with our young people growing up under the system, that there's a big kickback coming, a big push coming. You can see the Free Speech Union, you can see Hobson's Pledge, and you feel as though they're on the cutting edge and the politicians are going to get dragged screaming and kicking along into the basics of a liberal democracy. I'm actually feeling amazingly optimistic, in big part because of the work that you do and the work the Free Speech Union do in keeping these principles in front of us and holding the feet to the fire of the politicians.
Well, you're very generous, Roddy, I must say. But it is encouraging. We're feeling quite good about this year. The Treaty Principles Bill will be a major focus for us, at least, because it's awfully hard to see how anybody, other than sort of far left Maori Party people, can object to what it says. And polling shows there's widespread support, so we should have to use that.
It's hardly a secret that you had a, what do you call yourself, co-leader of Hobson's Pledge, co-what?
Well, I call myself a spokesman for,
Okay.
but that's been changed a bit because, of course, we had two spokespeople originally. I was one. Casey Costello was the other.
Well, I was coming to
Casey's
that.
gone to the Parliament, but we now have another spokesperson, a guy called Elliot Ekele. Do you know Elliot?
Absolutely wonderful man.
Absolutely right. Very articulate, and he embodies what we're talking about. I mean, he's part
Yes.
Maori, part Pacific Islander, he's part European, and his wife is Chinese. He said, "My children represent the new New Zealand."
Yeah. I've often wondered how you say his surname,
Elliot
Elliot Ekele.
Ekele, I
But
think.
you have got your fellow spokesperson from Hobson's Pledge, wonderful, wonderful woman, Casey Costello, not just in Parliament,
In
but a
cabinet.
full minister
Yep, that's right.
in Cabinet. So it's worth blowing your trumpet over that.
We're very pleased.
Very, very pleased. Oh gosh, I feel for her though.
Tough road to hoe.
It's a very, very hard row to hoe because the whole machinery of government is blah, and the extent that they have any enthusiasm is for all the things that we oppose.
Right.
Don, it's 2025. It's Waitangi Day. We're recording this. It's Waitangi Day tomorrow. What are your plans for the day?
Funny enough, I'm having lunch with a National Party MP and his wife who are hosting the uncle of the wife. Now, that doesn't sound very interesting, but he happens to be a guy who's worked in the Bank of England for most of his life, a Kiwi guy. But he spent 20, 25 years in the Bank of England. I knew his name quite well because he was a well-known Bank of England person whom I'd never met. Didn't know he was a New Zealander, but he's in Tauranga tomorrow, and he suggested to have lunch with me. So I'm looking forward to that.
And of course, our other political leaders are all up at Waitangi Day being humiliated. Would you have gone?
I don't know. I admire him for going.
Hmm.
I admire him for going. It took guts.
It's very, very upsetting to be a Kiwi and to have this annual spectacle. of, I find retina worse, but it's this debasement of having to
Humiliation.
go and be abused, and the news media gleefully reporting it, and you're thinking, that's not where what we subject leaders to.
Yeah, funnily enough, I think you'll actually gain political support because of doing it, though, ironically.
Oh, look, I agree with that, but of course it doesn't do the office or the prestige or the respect of our country any
No,
good.
that's true. That's true.
And yes, there's great politics in all of it, but there should be some things above politics. And I would have thought the treaty and the idea of coming together as one is such a wonderful concept historically around the world that it would be cause for a celebration. And instead, it's become a black day as agitators for many, many years have taken it over. And there's been no pushback from our political leadership. And here we are. So it's not a pretty sight for a Kiwi to see.
I think it was you who suggested I read One Sun in the Sky,
Yes, it was.
Ewan McQueen. I've just finished it.
It's a wonderful book.
You cannot read that and believe that the people who signed the treaty thought they were entering into a partnership. I mean, it's
No.
just, you cannot read it that way.
Isn't it a beautiful book describing a beautiful history of which there were great men on both sides who had a vision way off into the future?
That's right.
And you come away so proud of your heritage, Māori and Pākehā, through that book.
I
They were
agree.
amazing men.
They certainly were.
And they could put the squabbles of the day to one side for the vision. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I recommend that book to everyone, Don, particularly, actually, I just recommended it to my dad to get his daughter. I said she should read this book and then sit there and count the times her teacher gets it wrong. Because our true history is something that makes you proud, and the history that our kids are being taught makes them feel dirty, guilty, sinful, remorseful, and for something that they should apologize for.
That's right.
And it's the exact opposite. Don, always a pleasure. How do people sign up to Hobson's Pledge?
Sign up for Hobson's Bridge?
Yeah, to support you.
Well, we've got a website, hobsonspledge.nz, and just sign up there, and we'll send you our regular emails. And
I love getting your emails. So, listeners, if you haven't signed up already, do sign up. Hobson's Pledge, Google it. Search it, Hobson's Pledge, one word, dot NZ. Sign up for the email. I followed that real estate case, and Don writes well. The writers write well. You should also be signed up for the Free Speech Union, another wonderful organisation. Don, I wish you all the very best for 2025. Thank you. I would have thought that beating inflation, leading the National Party, leading that party, I would have thought you could sort of take off your cowboy hat and climb off your horse. But I'm so very pleased and so very impressed that you're on that horse and you're riding it for all it's worth and you're literally doing God's work.
Thank you very much, Rodney. Appreciate it.
There we have it, Dr. Don Brash, wonderful New Zealander. One people under the sun.